All right, well, praise God. Hopefully now everybody does actually feel welcome and appreciated. And you know, of course, if you do not feel welcome or appreciated, you probably have a demon of rejection. If you stay for prayer later on, we'll chase it away. All right. Can I ask that we all take our seats, please? Thank you. Give me a countdown. Good morning, everybody. I've been spending time in the book of Proverbs. One of the places I like to go to is the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs has a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge. It gives you a lot of understanding, and it shows us clearly how God wants us to live our life. Let me just say that sometimes what God expects us to do and what we think is right can be very far from one another. It depends on how we grew up. It depends on the kind of people that we related to. You must understand, when you come from a worldly background, you've got one way of looking at life. But when you are confronted with the godly way of life, sometimes you realize, man, I'm really, really missing the mark. We were singing a song now right at the end. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. I want you to listen to me carefully. The purpose of this word is to change you. Look at your neighbor and say, you need change. My friend, I don't care who you are, and I'm speaking to myself as well. I want you to know that. I want you to know one thing. I know when I'm preaching a good sermon, and I know when I'm not preaching a good sermon, because when it speaks to me, it's good. Amen. It has to speak to me. We all need to change. You know, the one constant in the Bible is repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we know that the word repentance is simply a very fancy word for the fact that God says, unless you change, you will not enter my kingdom. I don't think any of you are here today because you do not want to be in the kingdom. You're here today because you want to be in the kingdom. Now, I was explaining to somebody earlier on, there is a big difference between the repentance that takes place when we move from darkness into light. Okay, there comes a day when you realize you're a sinner. You don't want to die because of your die in your sinful state, because you've heard there's a place called hell and you're allergic to fire. You don't want to go there. Amen. So in other words, you take that first step of repentance and you say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Now, does that then deal with all the rubbish in your life? No, that just moves you. It gives you a new zip code. Amen. Where it was 666, it's now 777, something like that. All right. It's good, but you can still spend a lifetime down here suffering because of what you have with you, because of what you're carrying in your heart, because of what is attached to you that came with you from the world. Now that needs to be dealt with as well. I want you to imagine, if you will, somebody comes storming at you, anger, rage, hatred is like a fire burning in their eyes. They've got an axe or a knife, and you can see clearly that they're coming towards you and they mean to do you grievous bodily harm. How does it make you feel? All right, words should be coming to you now like stressed, worried, fearful, terrified, impending doom is coming. Oh me, oh my, I am going to die. Okay, something like that. Now, there's few things in life as terrifying as the scenario that I have just given you. I mean, I hope and I trust that you will never be in a place like that. But if you put yourself there with your imagination, man, it cannot be good. Now, even though this man storming at you is filled with rage and anger, and he's obviously very dangerous, I'm going to give you a shock now, because the Bible says there's somebody out there who seems very innocent. There's somebody out there that sometimes looks kind and lovable, and they look like they're your friend. They say the right things. Sometimes it even looks like they do the right things, but they are actually much more dangerous. Now you might be sitting here thinking to yourself, man, how does that work? Who's more dangerous than this oak storming down at me with a knife intending to kill me? Would you like to know? Proverbs 27 verse 4. Anger is cruel, and fury is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? Listen carefully. Anger is cruel, and fury is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? In other words, there he puts it to us exactly the way that I've been trying to explain it to you. Yes, anger is frightening. Yes, rage can be very destructive, but the two of them are not a patch on jealousy. A hot temper, even though destructive, may only last for a short while. Yet envy and jealousy feeds a long-term bitterness inside of another person, and the longer it stays there, the more destructive it becomes. You know, when you drop the hammer on your toe, you are going to be angry. You are going to say things that probably you shouldn't say. You are going to act in a way that is probably not 100% Christian, because remember, your toe doesn't feel saved at the moment. It feels anna. But it's probably going to pass. But when you walk around with jealousy in your heart towards a person, every time you see that person, the jealousy comes up. And that's what makes jealousy so much more destructive. An experience with anger or rage, I thought long about this, and this is what came to me. An experience with anger or rage is like being bitten by a snake. It's not nice, but it bites you, it injects you with venom, it moves on. And we're talking about not a fatal wound, okay? We're not talking about like some cobra or something like that. We're talking about a less venomous snake. So you're going to feel it, you're going to have pain, but it'll move on and things will get better. Now, an experience with somebody filled with jealousy is like this person feeding you so-called nice food for the rest of your life, but every time they give it to you, it's laced with poison. Do you understand the difference? The snake bites you. It's painful. It's not good. It can cause problems. It can complicate things, but you might not die from it. But if somebody poisons your life every day, you're not going to have a quality of life for the rest of your life. Anger or fury or rage is well known to all of us. It's a passionate or emotional outburst of rage against a person or against a thing. It can be in a moment. It can be a fit of rage. Now, the thing is, God does condemn unjustified anger, and he expects justified anger to be gone by nightfall. Where do I get that? Psalm 37 verse 8 says, "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath and do not fret, for it will lead only to evil." Now, I want to show you something very interesting. I'm going to read Psalm 37 again. Listen carefully to it. "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, for it leads only to evil." He says, stay away from anger and do not allow yourself to go down a path of wrath. In other words, where you begin to feed and feed and feed that anger. He says, because, and do not fret. To fret is to like constantly keep it there and you know, feed it. He says, because it will only lead to evil. Now, the context of this scripture, Psalm 37, is when God is talking about the wicked. How many of you know many times when we look at the wicked, it looks like the wicked are prospering and God doesn't care and nothing ever happens to them and everything always works out. Have you noticed that? Is it just me? Who of you have noticed that? Now, the psalmist here is talking about that. God is speaking through the psalmist and he says, yes, you're going to see things like that. You're going to notice people that through ill-gotten gain seem to be the pillars of society. You're going to see people that even though they are horrible people and they may make a living destroying other people's lives, it looks like they seem to go forward and forward and forward. God says, but do not be angry. Do not, he says, refrain from anger. In other words, do not allow anger to come. Turn away from wrath, because the enemy is going to sit on your ear and whisper to you and say, but this is not good. This is not right. He wants to entice you to a place of anger. He says the reason you mustn't do it is because it will lead to evil. Now, to fret, as the Bible puts it, is to allow a bitterness, a resentment to grow in your spirit regarding the success of the wicked, which will then sprout further anger and lead to more wrath and eventually lead to evil. Now, to allow this anger to grow within us is what God says will lead to evil. Psalm 37 verse 9. God's answer to us wanting to get angry, he says, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. I want to ask you a question. When you hope in the Lord, doesn't it mean that you put your faith and your trust in God? Okay, now, then you must put your faith and your trust in God, that God knows how to deal with them. You know, down here we have a proverb. We say that you give somebody enough rope to hang themselves. You don't know where God's going with this person's life. You don't know what their destination is, but Scripture already tells you where things are going to end for them. For evil men will be cut off. That's God's promise, not mine. It says here, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. In other words, what the enemy thinks, what the evil thinks is going to be theirs. God says, ultimately, I will give it to my children. So ultimately, God says he will deal with evil men. Your responsibility is to hope in the Lord and not to allow anger to consume you. Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Now, this is very important. In your anger, do not sin. Now, we all know that anger is not necessarily an evil thing, because God also gets angry. I mean, God got angry at the Israelites. In God's anger with the Israelites, God punished them and said, none of you will go into the promised land because you have tried my patience once too many. In his anger, he decided that the Egyptian army needs to die as they crossed through the sea. So yes, we know there's a place for anger, but there's also a very stern warning that comes with it. In your anger, do not sin. You see, the thing is, it's difficult for anger to come without sin coming with it, because anger is an emotion that can run away with you very quickly. Now, listen to this. Anger in God's word is not forbidden. It has its place. But one must be very careful, as anger that gets applied wrongly according to the word of God will lead to sin. Now, if anger flows from spite, if anger flows from bitterness, if anger flows without a cause towards another, then the Bible will call that a sin. And anger, according to God's word, should be tamed fairly quickly. Why? If you want, think of anger as a flame. When a flame begins to burn, initially it doesn't pick up speed that quickly, and if you kill it, it doesn't do much. But the longer you leave it, the more it burns. You know, the other day, I had an experience there at my house. I had some guys there doing something, and they were welding. And they were welding in the felt. Not always the world's best idea, because the felt was, the grass was dry. And they did have some water there. So I think they believe that when something happens, it's going to be fine. So they start off and they start welding. And the next moment, there's a small little fire. And so, okay, so the motion was like... Now, that wasn't enough to kill the fire. Do you know why? Because there was a wind blowing that day, and the wind was blowing quite strong. So by the time he put his foot down the first time, the fire was already there. Then when he put his foot there, the fire was already there. The next moment, I want to tell you, there was flames everywhere. I actually thought my whole house was going to go up. By the grace of God, the wind was blowing away from my house, not towards my house. Needless to say, 20 minutes later, we had dealt with the fire. But not before there was a lot of pitch black people, eyebrows singed. And it was a quick reminder why you should not allow fire to pick up speed. Because the more speed it gains, the longer you leave the fire, the more it gains momentum. The more momentum it has, the more difficult it is to stop it. Why does God's word say your anger must die before nightfall? Because God knows how these things work. The longer you leave something, the more it grows. It gains momentum. And if there's too much momentum, can you stand before a bus, Uncle Ed, and stop it? Not even in your Superman outfit can you do that. Because it has too much momentum. It will destroy you if you stand before it and stop it. Now that's how temper and anger can sometimes become. It runs away with you. God says, listen carefully. If you've ever been to where I do a marriage solemnization, I like to use the scripture because it's important. We're going to get angry, let's face it. And sometimes, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. These things do happen, but we should still operate within the realm of the word of God. God says, there's a place for that, but don't let it run away. Stop it early. Amen? Stop it before nightfall. Now, anger should also be tamed quickly, hence the command that it must be dealt with before the sun goes down. Anger, I already said to you, can be compared to a fire. You can control it, and you can put it out quickly, then there is no damage. But if you don't put it out quickly, you might not be able to control it at all. Anger must be ruled according to God's word. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger, sorry, can somebody get me some water, please? I've got this frog in my throat that I'm battling. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring the righteous life that God desires. Both anger and rage can bring disastrous things. I want to ask you a question. How many people today are dead because of anger? How many people are maimed in some way because of anger? How many lives are destroyed today because of anger? Many. Thank you. Thank you. I want to give you some examples. We all know Moses. He was a wonderful man. He was a blessed man. He was one of the very first true prophets. He was seriously anointed by God. He was equipped to do signs and wonders and miracles. He was a leader of men. He was a friend of God. In fact, he was pretty much the only man that we read of in the Bible that saw God face to face. How you put a value on that? You can't. God loved him. He was special in God's eyes. But we read the following. Israel provoked Moses, and his angry response cost him the land of Canaan. Psalm 106, verse 32 to 33. By the waters of Meribah, they angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them. For they rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came from the lips of Moses. In other words, Moses said things and did things in anger that ended up costing him a very severe price. I'm going to give you another example. Do you remember when Jesus was born and King Herod found out that there is a new king around and blah, blah, blah. And then somewhere along the line, he gave this decree that all the babies must be killed. Who can tell me why did he give that decree? All right. I'm going to be honest with you. I always thought that way myself. But then I learned something now. It was because of anger. Listen to this. It's in the Bible. Matthew 2 verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and killed all the children that were in Bethlehem. In a fit of anger and rage, he gave a decree that I want to promise you he was sorry he did later. But in that moment of anger, he couldn't stop himself. Today he's known worldwide as a mass murderer, but his temper brought him to that place. His anger brought him to that place. Now, listen to this. Where's that scripture? In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. What does temper do? It gives the devil a foothold. What? Satan used the anger of King Herod to work for him. Yes, you're right. Satan wanted all the babies dead. But what opened the door for him to get to that place? A fit of rage. Temper. Okay. Now, let's talk about envy. What is envy? Envy is a hostile and malicious feeling of jealous resentment towards another person simply because in some way they have an advantage over you. In other words, they look better than you, they are built better than you, they drive a better car than you, they have a better position than you, they have more hair than you. Anger, again, will dissipate. You know, generally people don't stay angry for months. You get angry and things happen and then it eventually dissipates. Envy is always around. It keeps reminding you he's superior to you. He has more than you. She's better looking than you. He's got more brains than you. I hope you use them. But the fact of the matter is, this is the difference. You see, envy and jealousy will not leave you alone. Every time you see that person, you become, there's the one who took my job because you feel that they were unfairly promoted. That one drives the car I want and they don't deserve it. And don't tell me that anger does not work with jealousy, because jealousy without anger cannot be jealousy. You must understand they work together. That's why in that proverb, they are used together. Envy is much worse than anger. It's much, much worse than wrath. You see, the thing is, envy doesn't need nothing to provoke it. You see, if somebody swears at me and I get angry at him, at least I was provoked to anger by something. But you driving a better car than me, it doesn't provoke me. I choose to be bitter and angry just because you drive that car. Can you see the difference between the two? It's much worse, and it's also much worse in God's eyes. Envy is a kind of hatred that we allow to come into our heart, and once it's in our heart, we level that anger against the other person. But what makes envy and jealousy so dangerous, we don't show it. I want you to listen to me carefully. I've walked this road for many years. I've had a lot of experiences with envy and jealousy. And sometimes it was from the people that I least expected it, that it came. It literally is like that cartoon sometimes shows where the one man hugs the other one, but he's got the dagger and he's like, That's what envy's about. Because you're nice to the person. You're kind to the person, or at least you show kindness to the person. But in your heart, you can't stand them because you got something I want. And that is extremely, extremely destructive. Envy lives deep in the heart of a man. And it can only be dealt with great difficulty. And let me say something about everything we're talking about now, be it anger or rage or wrath or jealousy. None of these can be dealt with until you come to a place that you search your heart and say, you know what, I do have, it's a problem. But people with jealousy is often like, according to them, they got no problem. They feel justified that they're angry with that person because he got that position because, I mean, I should have got it. I want to ask you a question. Who promotes, you or God? So who are you really angry with? Go think about that. Because what you're really doing is you are allowing anger in your heart towards God. Let's say I drive a nice car or he drives a nice car. When you're angry about my nice car, you're really angry with the one who gave me the car. Guess what? It's not West Bank that gave me the car. It's not EPSA Finance that gave me the car. It's not 100,000 Rand, whatever the case might be, that gave me the car. My provider gave me the car. So your anger, your hatred, your bitterness and your resentment that grows and grows because of what I have is not so much leveled against me, it's leveled against my provider. Now this is where problems are going to come. Because you cannot treat God that way and expect things in your life must be good. It can never be good. You're going to suffer. You're going to have problems. You see, unlike anger, envy is hidden in the heart of another person. So most of the times, in fact, 90% of the times, you don't even know the person has this towards you. Because when they see you, they smile. They look like they are appreciative of being around you and having your friendship. But the moment you turn your back, they're like, and that's what makes it very, very dangerous. You all know the story of David and Saul. Let me show you a couple of interesting things. Number one, David was a servant of Saul. Okay, Saul was king. Saul had the palace. Saul had all the women and whatever, wine, women and song was his. Saul had the position. Saul had the status. Saul had the bank balance. David was a servant. David, whenever Saul was going through a difficult and tough time, would come and minister to him with his harp to restore peace and tranquility to his soul. David was the best friend of Saul's only son. David married Saul's daughter, looked after her, and took care of her. David was the one that would go out and fight Saul's battles for him. Saul didn't fight no battles. He sent David. Because David was a good warrior. The Israelites respected David. David was a wise man. And David was completely loyal to Saul. If Saul asked him anything, David would drop everything and do it for Saul immediately. It was evident to everybody that God was with David. It wasn't that evident that God was with Saul. Yet, even if you look at all of these reasons why Saul should have been happy with David, if you look at all of the reasons why Saul should be blessed to have David with him, Saul still harbored a bitter resentment towards David because of Israel's love for him. You find that in 1 Samuel 18 verse 8. It says, Saul was very angry. You hear that? He allowed this anger to come in and he allowed it to stay there and stay there. It turned into resentment and the resentment became jealousy. And listen to this. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. In other words, made him exceedingly bitter. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought. But for me, only thousands. What more can he get but my kingdom? In other words, Saul made a decision. Because of what the people were singing, he already decided that David wants his kingdom. David wanted to serve Saul. He had no aspirations for the kingdom. Saul's insecurity, Saul's lack of leadership, caused him to believe a lie that probably the devil put there. And from that time on, the Bible says, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. That brings me to something interesting. I didn't write any notes on it, but I want to talk about it. Where does jealousy sit? It sits on the eyes. A person with jealousy, those eyes miss nothing. They know when you have new curtains. They know when you have new carpets. They know when you've steam cleaned who knows what. They can see when you've had a service done by a good place and when it wasn't so good. They miss nothing because they want to see. The demon in the spirit world of jealousy has massive big eyes because he wants to see everything. He wants to know, is there a reason for me to be more angry? Do they have even more today? And he's looking. But that's how it works. Be careful of people that want to know too much of your life. There's a reason they want to see. Don't trust them. If I'm stepping on your toes today, I don't mean to. I mean to teach you the word of God. I mean to help you to go forward and live a peaceful life. Because let me tell you something about jealousy. Jealousy doesn't work when it comes from strangers. There's no link between you and the stranger. You can drive down the road in your car and some oak can be like, ah, look at that moron driving that car. It's not going to touch you because there's no link between you. There's no relationship between you and that person. When jealousy touches you, it's because people are close to you. It's because people have a relationship with you in some way. It can be a colleague at work. It can be a family member. It can be a good friend. Okay, I can't call him a good friend because of the jealousy thing, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And you know because they want to know everything about your life. You know, I've said this to you many times, and probably you think that I'm a broken record, but I have to, my teachings have to be in line with my experiences and what I see in people's lives. Otherwise, I'm not helping you. I can give you this morning 7 ways to deal with El Nino, but it's probably not going to be relevant to your life, and I'll be wasting your time. So the thing is, I want you to learn something today. Be quiet about your life. Don't put it out there. I'm going to touch on something that I touch on sometimes. Facebook. I want to tell you, the devil loves Facebook. Because people put their entire life out there for everybody to see. What does the spirit of jealousy want? I want to see. My friend, the worst thing that you can do is put your private life on social media for all to see. Because there's a lot of people that can't wait to see what's going on. So they can become with you. So they can chiri 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 about you. Listen, yeah. When you're going through a disaster in your life, don't put it on social media. Because 90% of the people that read what's going on in your life are not sad with you. They're happy that it's happening. And you're not helping yourself. You know, the devil really there has given a brilliant medium for the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of envy, gossip and slander to grow big and fat and strong. And it does. Saul should have valued David's loyalty. Saul should have valued David's friendship. But because of jealousy, he repeatedly tried to kill David. And ultimately, it destroyed Saul's life. In the Bible, we read of a man by the name of Jacob, who was in love with a woman named Rachel. He wanted to marry her. Her father tricked him, and even though he worked 7 years for what he believed to be Rachel, when he married, the night he went in to consummate his marriage, and I'm sure he was a bit tipsy or probably just stone drunk, when he woke up the next morning and he looked, he was not looking in the eyes of Rachel. There was Leah. How's it, lovey? What? But there was nothing he could do because now they married. So he worked another 7 years and he received Rachel. Now Rachel had a bit of a problem. Leah quickly produced children for Jacob. Rachel couldn't fall pregnant. But we read in the Bible that Rachel was a jealous person. And I have to wonder in my heart if that's not one of the reasons why she could not fall pregnant in the first place. Because you see, the Bible makes one thing very clear: what you sow, you will reap. If you sow good things, then good things come back to you. If you sow blessings, then blessings come back to you. But if you sow curses, then curses come back to you. And barrenness is a curse. Listen to what the Bible says. Genesis 30 verse 1. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. I don't think she became jealous. I think she always had that jealousy. It just began to grow stronger at that point in time. Let's talk about that. Why am I teaching you this? Because you've got to examine your heart while I'm talking. We all have to. The world doesn't have a big problem with jealousy. It's like, oh, everybody does it. No, God has a big problem with it. And God is talking to us about what this brings into your life. Saul was a jealous man. He lost his kingdom and he lost his life. Do you think it helped him? Mm-mm. Rachel was a jealous woman. She gave her husband one son. She died at childbirth. But she was jealous of her sister and her sister's children. Because of her jealous heart, she never enjoyed being a mother. Because of her jealous heart, her life was cut short. Does jealousy really help us? No. It destroys us from the inside. Joseph's 10 brothers envied him because their father loved him. You all know the story. His brothers had a big problem with the fact that their father seemed to favor him. Now, maybe the father wasn't 100% correct either. But then again, two wrongs don't make a right, do they? And they began to grow in envy and grow in jealousy and bitterness and resentment because they all run together. And one day they made a decision. They said, he cannot live. They wanted to kill him. They threw him in a pit. But then one of them had mercy and he said, listen, you guys, we can't do this. Let's just... we'll sell him as a slave. And they did. Acts chapter 7 verse 9. Because the patriarchs, which is now the 12 sons of Abraham. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. And then we read that Moses once stood up against Joshua. You see, the thing is, there was two men that started walking around in the camp prophesying. Joshua heard them prophesy and he ran to Moses and he said, there's two guys prophesying. Make them quiet. But Moses knew that Joshua in his heart was jealous. Because you must understand, Joshua was studying to be a prophet under Moses. And Moses rebuked Joshua. And told him it would be great if all God's people were prophets and if all God's people were through the Holy Spirit enabled to prophesy. So he said to him, listen, yeah, please be quiet. I don't want to hear it. If they want to prophesy and the Spirit of God is on them, let them prophesy. Amen. Amen. Whatever another person has, whether it is physical or spiritual, whatever it might be, remember that it is only God that provided it. If they have a nice hairstyle, God gave them a good head of hair. If they have nice pearly white teeth, God blessed them with nice pearly white teeth. If they have long eyelashes, provided they're not fake, God bless them with long eyelashes. Amen. Getting jealous about those kind of things is a recipe for disaster. Why? Because you're jealous of what God gave. Envying another person's achievements or possessions or status, etc., is to despise God's provision in that person's life. Now, let me ask you a question. If you've come to a place in your life that you despise what I have, you despise what Eddie has, you despise what Albert has, you have problems with everybody around you, what does that do for your provision? It's going to dry up. You're going to have big, big, big problems. You are going to suffer. And now this is where it becomes really sad. The people around you will suffer with you. Do not be surprised if God's provision in your own life dries up and disappears, if you have such an evil outlook on life. Instead, you should be happy with what you have. Oh, but Rion, you don't understand. I drive a little skedonk. Thank God for the skedonk. Okay. I think it's also called a skoro skoro. Thank God for it. Praise God for it. Bless God for it. Because when your attitude is right, you might get promoted and tomorrow drive something better. But if your attitude stinks towards the people around you, I want to tell you something. You'll never get out of the pit that you're in. You'll stay there for the rest of your life. It's got to do with attitude. Amen. If you do not destroy envy, if you do not forgive the people around you for their faults, if you do not rejoice in the blessings of other people, you are destroying your own soul. And I want to tell you something. There's people all over this world today whose souls are dying. And you see it because when your soul begins to die, your body begins to go backwards. How many people are sick and suffering because of funny things happening to them? Because inside of them, they're poisoning their soul. Can you have a healthy body if you have a sick soul? No. Or maybe you want to call it spirit. Doesn't the proverb say a healthy body and a healthy mind? Well, let's say that your mind is your soul. If you cause that to become sick, if you cause that to become poisoned, your body is going to manifest that too. The poison of envy will eat at your heart like a cancer until it destroys your life through bitter resentment. Jealous people are not happy people. Because you can't walk around with a lot of resentment and bitterness and be happy. I'm not saying they don't laugh now and then. But joy doesn't come from inside. And it'll never come from inside until you remove the poison. Proverbs 14 verse 30, listen to this. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots your bones. Wow. Wow. You thought I was joking. It's biblical. A heart at peace. In other words, when I live at peace with her and at peace with him, okay, she's got a new house, I'm blessing her. He's got a new car, I'm blessing her. She has a new position, I'm blessing her. I almost wanted to say you have a new boyfriend, but she and her husband are blessed, they have a happy marriage, I'm blessing her. In other words, I see the good things in people around me and I'm happy and I'm blessed. It's, I have peace with the people around me. What does it say? It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. So what am I trying to tell you? How you, what's ingesteldheid? Okay, attitude. Probably a good way. Your attitude towards the people around you is going to play a very big role in whether you have peace in your heart or not. Okay. And then he says, a heart at peace, in other words, I have peace with the people around me. I'm happy that they are prospering. I'm happy. Oh, and let's talk about other people's children. You know, that's most a big problem. If the one child gets better marks, then, oh, it's probably because they bribed the teacher. No, it's probably because the child studied. You see, it's got to do with your attitude. People with bitterness in their heart always see the bad. They don't see the good. There's always a conspiracy going on. No, there's no conspiracy. If somebody worked hard and God blessed them with something, they deserve it. So be happy for them. Be happy for them, because when you start being happy for other people's kids, your kids are going to be blessed as well. But the opposite is also true. A heart at peace gives life to the body. In other words, if my heart is in a good place, my body will reflect it. But envy rots your bones. Listen, yeah, there's a lot of funny sicknesses out there that causes things in your body to rot. The Bible says envy is at the root of some of these things. There's a lot of people going to doctors today that cannot be cured until they don't deal with their hearts, because the root problem is not the rotting of the bones. It's what causes the bones to rot in the first place, which is called envy and jealousy. And you see, the thing is, the doctor can't cure you of that. You need to choose to let it go. We all have to examine our hearts. I don't know whether you have jealousy or not. You see, here's the thing that you got to understand. Pastors are not fortune tellers. We are not spiritists. We are not mediums. We are not clairvoyants. It's not like I'm looking at Eddie and I'm like, wow, check all the poison of bitterness there. Gee, you know, doesn't work like that. But you know what's going on in your heart. The Bible asks the question, it says, who knows what is inside of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? I understand that sometimes certain things in our hearts we might not know about. But I have a feeling if you have jealousy, you'll know it's there. Because you can feel you get with people when they achieve things. You get with people when you feel you should have what they have. And you better open your eyes, because I want to tell you something, you're going to get a hiding. It's not going to come from the person that you're jealous of. It comes from God. And it's a big hiding. And you know what? You might not survive. Because when envy has rot your bones to a certain place, you die. Finished law. Envy takes life. Job 5 verse 2 says, resentment kills a fool and envy slays the simple. Listen to this. I told you that jealousy can't work without resentment. Resentment is that thing that you have that with the person because they have this car or they have that house or they have a beautiful wife or whatever. Now, in other words, these two, resentment and envy, work together. He says, Job 5:2, resentment kills a fool. Envy slays the simple. Both cause death. People who walk around full of jealousy and envy call the spirit of death to come to them. It will touch your finances. You can be as jealous of the people around you as you want. It doesn't help you to get more money. It actually begins to push the money away. It won't help you to get a better house. It will destroy the house you're living in. You see, that's the lie of the devil that we fall for. Now, envy also leads to emulation. You get that in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 20. What is emulation? It is the desire or the effort to equal or surpass another person in their achievements or in their quality. In other words, nah, don't tell me that one became a manager. I will become a manager because I'm better than them. That's emulation. Okay, now. It is the grudging ill will towards another person because of their superiority in some area. According to God's word, both envy and emulation have their origin in the pit of hell. James 3 verse 14 to 16. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, now in the New International Version, the word emulation has been translated as selfish ambition. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you find envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Listen. Where you find envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. The King James Version says, every evil thing. Where does evil come from? Where does evil come from? Comes from the devil. Comes from the pit of hell. Do you know why some people say, oh, my life is hell on earth? Because you've opened the door for that stuff to come. You call them with your attitude. I want to tell you something. You don't have to send an email to the devil telling him, listen, yeah, by the way, I'm full of jealousy. He sees right through you. He knows it's there before you know it's there. And the moment he sees it, he comes. Where you find envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil thing. What do I want you to do today? It's simple. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. God's word, the purpose of God's word is to show us where we're wrong. Sometimes we don't really realize that we're wrong. Sometimes we believe that we're actually okay, and therefore the word of God shines a spotlight. I'll give you an example. This floor looks clean. It sort of looks okay. But if we bring a spotlight and we put it close to the floor, some of you might never walk over it again. You'll be like, what? You all know that when you examine your mattress, you're going to see those funny little chochos living there, don't you? And you might never sleep there again. It's got to do with perspective. You see, when we look at the problems in our life, we see them as very small. But we need to see it from God's perspective, not our perspective. Because God sees it through a microscope. To God, it's huge. To the devil, it's huge. And therefore, when the word of God shines a spotlight on something in your life, it is your decision whether you're going to just be like, oh, so what? Or whether you're going to let God's word convict you and say, you know what? I'm wrong. I don't have to have this stuff. In fact, I want to please God. I truly believe that you are sitting in this church today because you actually want to please God. Now, do you know how you start pleasing God? Today, when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. In other words, when my spirit speaks to you through the word, when you're wrong, you're wrong. Admit it. When you need to change, change. Let it happen. You know, Derek Prince, I love the way he puts it. He says in one of his messages that he spoke many, many years ago, he's with God now, I think, for the last like 12 or 13 years. And he's somebody that I love a lot and I look up to him. And I can't wait to be in heaven one day because I want to spend a bit of time with him. I always prayed and asked God that I want to have time with him on earth before he goes. And it never happened. So probably I'll get that request granted when I go to heaven. Wherever my house is, I hope he has my address. I'm inviting him for coffee. So Derek Prince says, call a spade and not an agricultural instrument. This is how we are. We got ways of making what we have sound not so bad. That's not how God looks at life. Whether it's good, but when it's bad, it's bad. And there's no gray areas in the kingdom. I spoke to you today about anger. I spoke to you today about wrath. And I spoke to you today about jealousy. I'm going to give you that scripture again that I started with. Proverbs 27 verse 4. Anger is cruel and fury is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? I do believe God is talking to us today. And God wants us to change. If you know you battle, what does God expect? Humble yourself before God. And God will lift you up. Sometimes what you have in your heart has already caused you to be in a pit. You just can't see it. You don't know when your spirit is in a pit. You can't see spiritual things. But sometimes your life reflects it. Sometimes the fact that everything goes wrong and you're stuck. Maybe you're in a pit. Maybe these are the reasons God's talking to you. What do? Choose to let it go. The biggest problem here is envy. I have walked a road with a number of people in my life that it later turned out that they were very envious of me. And I want to tell you something. It brings an enormous amount of destruction into your life. You might have to at some point in time find yourself new friends. Because I want to tell you something. You can't change the heart of the people around you. You can only change your own heart. And sometimes the people around you don't want to change. Sometimes the people around you have no problem. They don't see what's going on in them as a problem. But I want you to understand spiritually how this works. God wants to bless you. But sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. Sometimes I am the reason why God is not blessing me right now. And then God says, deal with this and my blessing will return. I want to tell you something. We serve a good, good Father. And He truly does want the best for you. But you are not divinely protected from the consequences of what you have allowed in your heart. You gotta let things go. You gotta call a spade and say, you know what? I'm wrong. I need to let this go. If you know that you harbor resentment towards people because of position, status, possessions, whatever, you better deal with that and let God help you to pull that out. It's probably why you don't get your own stuff. You've heard me say many times, if your focus is always on other people's lives, you will never live your own life. And you will end up walking around in circles. And maybe you have jealous people around you. Then you better pray and ask God where to go with that, because I want to tell you something. It's very difficult to have peace when you have jealousy in your life. Because I just showed you where you find jealousy and where you find selfish ambition, there you find every evil thing. Anger and wrath give place to the devil. Ephesians 4 verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a place. In other words, the context there has got to do with anger. But, and I want to show you the difference. Anger and wrath might give the devil place, but jealousy causes you to be exactly like the devil. Isaiah 14:14, Satan speaking, he says, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Lord Most High, which is jealousy speaking. He wants to be like God. Selfish ambition. Did anybody learn something today? Please give the Lord a big hand.